You're listening to the Golf Unfiltered Podcast, your source for in-depth interviews with the biggest names, brands, and personalities in golf. Our mission? To keep you informed and help you enjoy the game even more.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. This is the Golf Unfiltered Podcast. I'm your host, along with my co-host. I should say who I am first. My name's Adam Fonseca. My co-host is Dan Hauser. Dan, how you doing?
How's it going?
Good. I'm so out of practice on doing this. You know, the summer months have been so busy, even for me. I know you've been busy. I know Nikki's been busy. That's why she's not here as well. I'm not in my rhythm of my normal like introductions. So I don't know how you are.
Yeah. It's been all over the place. I almost had to be like, okay, which show are we talking about? What's the topic? What are we doing here today? So yeah,
it's been all over the place. Now we didn't even talk about doing this beforehand, but, you are a host of another show that is not related to golf, but are you even able to talk about it? I should have asked before.
Oh yeah, no, of course. Absolutely. I'd love to. I am the host of what's called the Addiction Help Podcast. It's for the company website, addictionhelp.com. And so, yeah, like you mentioned, it's obviously has nothing to do with golf, but still a very important topic. So we tend to, or at least I should say we try to kind of find some stories in the news, whether it's news, sports, entertainment, whatever is kind of happening out in the world, and try to tie it back to whether it's addiction recovery, mental health, and whatnot. And so today is Monday. We just actually recorded this week's episode, which will be out on Wednesday. Episodes are out every Wednesday. And so this week, our topic was about music therapy and music as a whole as it pertains to overall mental health. Addiction treatment, music therapy is actually a new big thing in the addiction treatment world. So we kind of talked about that. And I shared a story about a couple dads out in Minnesota who during COVID kind of teamed up as a way to just do something that you could, because we all had to find something to do during COVID, and they started playing some music, and now they've kind of turned it into something where they're raising money and awareness for children and their mental health needs. So that'll be kind of this week's topic.
That's awesome. What's the name of the show again?
The Addiction Help Podcast. And so just like with us here on Golf Unfiltered, you can get that wherever it is you get your podcast. And then there's also the video component on YouTube as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, go out and subscribe to them too, listeners. Before we get into today's topics, we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about, of course, the Open Championship or the British Open, depending on your preference. And then we have a little bit of update on, I know, Dan's favorite golfer of all time, Michael Block. But before we get into that, just some quick shout outs to our sponsors. Of course, we are powered by Bridgestone Golf. As always, we love them. They love us. We get along great. And also, we want to just give shout outs to the Coghill Golf and Country Club. Of course, we've been partnering with them for a very long time. They've got some great stuff. I mean, if you're in Florida, but if you were in town, Dan, Coghill's got a Scotch and Stogies event coming up.
How quickly can I get up there? Right. Let me start looking at flights.
Right. Our friends over at Sharp Focus Nutrition are also longtime sponsors of the show. If you want to keep in shape as well as eat right on the golf course, I know there are some of you that like to do that. Go out to sharpfocusnutrition.com to learn more. And then last but not least, our friends over at Mizuno Golf also like to help us out. So thanks to them as well. All right. So the Open Championship has come and gone, Dan. I'm going to say right off the bat, you and I have talked about this. I thought it was kind of boring. I think it's wild that a guy, Brian Harman, who wins by 5 shots, I believe it was. Let me take a look. Yeah, 6 shots.
Yeah, 6.
I mean, back in the day, there was a man who would win tournaments by multiple shots, Mr. Woods. That was extremely exciting. I found myself to be a little bit bored to the point where I actually turned it off on Sunday. Did you watch everything?
I did not watch actually, I shouldn't say it. I missed during his final round. I think I missed holes 13, 14, 15, and 16 because we were headed to lunch. And then when we got to where we were at for lunch, obviously it was on the TVs there. And then I saw 17 and 18, but that was just more because it was on. And, you know, I was like, I'll catch the very end of it. There was nothing left to see as far as any excitement or whether he was going to win or not. Yeah.
Right.
I think the fact that his name is Brian Harman is probably the reason why a lot of people were like, yeah, so what? And that's unfortunate. I mean, look, we're golf sickos. Even we were kind of like, yeah, okay, cool. I mean, it's a little bit unfortunate because what he did, especially Saturday and Sunday, was super impressive. And if somebody by the name of Tiger Woods had done that, it would have basically melted the internet down. And what I mean by that is that, let's not forget, he had a very, well, for us in the United States, he had a super early tee time on Friday. Yeah. Obviously over there, it was part of the morning wave. So he was done even local time before lunch, and then had to sit on that lead for what, 25, 26 hours almost before he was the final tee time on Saturday. It would have been very easy for him, especially after the start he got off to on Saturday, to just kind of metaphorically pack it in. Like he got off to that rough start. He had a couple bogeys. It would have been very easy to be like, for Brian Harman to basically become Brian Harman and just, you know, falter and fall out of it completely and basically be written off the TV coverage by hole seven, especially with John Rahm having shot a 63 and all these big names coming from behind him. But he never faltered. Saturday was pretty exciting because there were times where the lead would drop down to three or two and then would balloon back to five or six. And then we ultimately ended up settling it a five shot lead, which is what we started the day with. Yesterday, Sunday, there was no real excitement. It seemed like any time that he started to falter, nobody else could make a putt, or any time that even though he was kind of going steady and somebody needed to make a big putt to close the gap to four or three or whatever it was, nobody could make that putt. So yeah, there was really never a point on Sunday where it was ever really in doubt. And I think, unfortunately, because it was Brian Harman as that person who was just kind of going slow and steady to win the race and not maybe a bigger name, that yeah, it might've lost some of its luster, you know, late in the day.
Yeah, it was a fun tournament to watch if you like that type of golf. I mean, Sunday had really, really bad weather. It was a downpour pretty much throughout the entire round. And like you were saying, I mean, we were kind of hoping for some excitement. At least I was. Is Harman going to fall back a little bit? You know, Rahm with his bogey-free 63 on Saturday, that, you know, gave us something to root for from someone, you know, from a comeback perspective. And certainly he having the year that he's had, which is something that we could say for the last couple of years for Rahm, that would have been an incredible storyline as well. But hey, Harman, to his credit, finished it out. I made a joke to our mutual friend, Matt Lawrence, actually. You know, if Harman didn't finish this out, it would have been very heartbreaking. I mean, careers get ruined sometimes. And I'm not even being, you know, hyperbolic right now. Careers get ruined when you lose that big of a lead, especially in a major. We've seen it happen before at the British Open or the Open Championship. I don't want anyone to get mad at me. I'm sorry. The Open Championship. But yeah, it was an interesting tournament, to say the least. But were there any surprises? Go ahead.
Yeah, so here's the way I look at it. When Tiger did it, or when Rory did it, or when Spieth or Justin Thomas or even a John Rahm does it, and they go out and they get that lead early and then they just never let it go, we applaud them. So yeah, I mean, Brian Harman is not the name that those guys are, but at the end of the day, he got the lead and he had to fight off a lot of those names that I mentioned. So for, you know, I mean, you got to give the guy the credit where it's due there. He got the lead. He never gave it up. And there were some big names that were trying to chase him down that never really were able to come, finish up with it.
Absolutely. And looking at the leaderboard, Dan, and even throughout the week, were there any players that just surprised you, either good or bad, from their performance?
Yeah. I think Sepp Straka had a really good performance. That's another one of those names where you don't really expect to see that name Sunday at the top of a leaderboard. And he was coming down the stretch there. And he was another one of those guys where I was talking about, like, had he hold maybe one or two more putts, it would have gotten a lot more interesting later in the day. That was definitely Tom Kim. Same thing. You know, I know he's young, up and comer. That performance he put together, he talked about it earlier in the week. He almost didn't go. He hurt himself. I think it was an ankle injury, I want to say.
Yeah.
And basically his trainers, I don't know, but basically his trainers had to be like, you're playing. You just need to deal with it and suck it up and go. And obviously, you know, hopefully he gives them a nice Christmas bonus because he made a lot of money because they basically made him play. So that was nice to see. Obviously, you know, Rory backdoor top 10 in a major, the real tradition unlike any other these days. Once again, he gives us just enough to think that we're finally going to see him do it, and then he doesn't. But I feel like we're pretty used to that these days. I think, though, the biggest shock surprise for me was Justin Thomas. Don't get me wrong. There were a lot of big names who I kind of forgot they were even playing because they just were now not even in contention. I think, what did we see? Maybe two Dustin Johnson shots, you know, between Thursday and Friday. At one point I had to be reminded that he was even playing because I was looking, you know, down on the leaderboard. But to think that you know, basically this time last year, he was coming off a PGA Championship win. Now, we all famously know how he kind of got that win. And obviously it was shown in full swing where we don't know how much he actually won and how much Mito Pereira, you know, kind of lost it. But still, at the end of the day, he had the trophy. And now you fast forward, you know, what, 13 months later, and he's entered into the 3M Open this week just so he can try to make the playoffs. Like, forget major championships.
Well,
he's got to grind right now just to make the playoffs to get his exemptions into the elevated events next season. Think about that one for a minute. So that was really surprising to see that continue to struggle.
That's wild to me. I mean, to think that Justin Thomas won't even qualify for the playoffs. I mean, he's at the time of, I don't know, let's say it was Friday. I haven't checked today, but I think he was 74th on the FedEx Cup points list. And that's after playing 18 events. And I think he had won over $3 million. So that's the weird dynamic. And I don't know if that's a commentary of how the point system works. I know that gets, you know, crapped on a lot, but
I think it has to do with the fact that he's playing in all the elevated events. So as long as he makes the cut in those, he's getting inflated purses regardless. But yeah, still, it's, you know, I don't think he cares about the money right now. He needs to continue to keep his status going. And I'm sure if you'd ask him, he cares about the Ryder Cup, which is another thing. He's got to keep playing in these events so he can try to get his Ryder Cup points up too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you completely that was a big surprise. I don't know what's happened to him for 2023. I mean, there's a lot of just, you know, idiots saying, oh, you get married and all of a sudden things go by the wayside. That I mean, come on, let's
Ricky
not go
Fowler there. Got married and now all of a sudden he's back to playing amazing golf again. So I don't know about all that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think another surprise for me, you know, Jason Day, he's been playing well, better than he has in years. The hatless Jason Day, because it was raining so much, was that shook me. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. Who is this person? That's kind of like when Rory plays with no hat during the Ryder Cup. That's just like, whoa, wait, this is weird. But he was a surprise to me. I mean, it was nice to see him back on top of his game.
Yeah, I think more than anything else too, and we talk about a lot of this with Tiger where it's, yeah, he's a golfer, but he's also just a human being and a father. And so same thing with Jason Day. I think it's just nice to see him. For the time being, I'm not trying to jinx him in any way or shape or form, but he seems to finally be healthy or at least healthy enough to play regularly, which for several years now was not the case. It seemed like every other week he was having a withdrawal because of some sort of back injury or he was sick or something was happening. So he seems to be putting together some consecutive weeks of staying healthy and being able to play all four rounds. And now I think as a result of that, we're starting to see shades of the old Jason Day again, where he was going out and regularly contending and even winning major championships.
Yeah, when he's playing, he's a fun player to watch. He's someone that I've always been a fan of. You know, obviously, as you just mentioned, he's had the injury bug and every other bug, it seems, that somebody could actually catch. Oh, by the way, just as a quick update, Justin Thomas is now 75th on the points. So he actually dropped a spot
right on the cutoff line. He's literally that cutoff player.
Play hard. Play hard, JT. I mean, there's not a lot of room to make up here. I think if I remember right, it's like beginning of September is when these teams have to be
let's
solidified.
Put it to you this way. This week is one of the few weeks where it's not an elevated event after a major, and he's still playing. I mean, he's playing the 3M. No offense to the great people of Minnesota and the 3M Open, but Justin Thomas should not be having to play the 3M Open, and yet here he is playing this week. So
There he is. Well, you know, and another thing that I thought that I found to be, you know, interesting about the week was there's always been this talk with all these majors about, okay, are we protecting par? You know, are the scores appropriate for a major, whatever, you know, there's this ever present argument or debate on the internets about, okay, do we want to see a pro go out there and shoot 20 under, or do we want to see someone 3 over? From a golf course perspective, the golf course of many names, Hoylake, Royal Liverpool, whatever you want to call it, how do you think it held up this week?
I thought it was great. We saw some, until Sunday, we saw some very non-traditional open championship weather, especially Thursday and Friday when it was very sunny and warm for British standards this time of year, obviously not warm for the rest of us that are basically bursting into flames the second we walk out of our houses in most of the country right now. But, so I think the fact that it was a pretty timid weather Thursday, Friday, even parts of Saturday was pretty, you know, 12, 12 was the winning score?
13. Yep.
For an open championship with very benign weather conditions, it was fine. I thought that we got the quirkiness of some interesting rolls and drops, and there were definitely some bunker shots that were, you know, one leg's hanging out of the back of it and the other leg's kind of, you know, so I mean, we definitely got to see some of those fun shots. I didn't watch it thinking to myself, man, this is tricked up and just unfair. I thought that the course played how it's naturally supposed to play. And I think when it comes to an open championship, if you're not going to have to battle the weather elements, then it should just play how the course, like that's the beauty of Lynx golf, is it just, it is there and it exists. And then whatever happens, happens. And I think that that's right. What we got, which is how an open championship should be played, especially when you consider the benign weather until Sunday.
So we've got a lot of moving and shaking on these leaderboards. I mean, we've got the FedEx Cup standings we've been talking about with JT's decline and Brian Harman shooting up 12 spots to sixth on the points list. And we have to think, too, in the Ryder Cup year, Rome right around the corner, Brian Harman's got to be a lock. I won't say that he is, but he has to be a lock. I mean, let's be honest, for a team spot, certainly with JT, maybe. I mean, does he even get a thought at this point? Zach Johnson's got a lot to think about.
The fact that we're even talking about whether JT has a shot means that Brian Harman better be on that team, because yeah, if right. We're even considering talking about potentially giving JT a spot, then Brian Harman absolutely has to have a spot. This actually kind of toggled my memory. I forgot about this name when you just mentioned the Ryder Cup. Another interesting performance this week that I think ended any chances that he had of getting a Ryder Cup spot was Taylor Gooch. He did not play well at the Open because he has not played in very many majors this year and obviously no longer plays on the PGA Tour, so he can't rack up points that way. LIV is not factored in when it comes to Ryder Cup points. He basically needed to have a very, very impressive showing this week to get a spot. So it would appear as of now that Brooks will be that only LIV representation, at least on the United States side. When it comes to the Ryder Cup, and I would have to imagine that it'll probably be the only. Well, yeah, I'd have to imagine it'll probably be the only representation on both sides, because the only other one you could think of that could warrant an international spot would be Cam Smith, but obviously he's not Ryder Cup eligible. That's President's Cup, and it's not a President's Cup year. So, right. Yeah, it looks like Brooks is probably going to be the only LIV representative when we go to Rome.
The only thing I think you're right. I could see Zach Johnson have a conversation with Dustin Johnson,
plus 13, I think he finished. Obviously missed the cut by a quarter mile. That's the same thing with Taylor Gooch. That's the last big event now until the Ryder Cup that he's going to be able to be seen in, unless Zach Johnson decides to start turning on the CW on some random Saturdays coming up here. But, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that ship has sailed on those guys. And you know, maybe as we get closer to the Ryder Cup, we'll have a conversation about, all right, the captain's picks. I mean, the Euro team is going to have 6 captain's picks this year, which is insane. Luke Donald, of course, being the replacement for Henrik Stenson, that, of course, he went to LIV. And so a lot of things are changing there, too. But to segue, somebody that has been around the Ryder Cup already, I'll bring it up on the screen here for our viewers on YouTube. There's your buddy, Michael Block, posing with the Ryder Cup. At least he did the Stanley Cup thing where he's not actually touching it. But listen, your buddy's been on a roll. We all know how you feel about the man. What's going on? What's going on with Michael?
Yeah, you know what? I hate to even have to be the one to do this, because really, I loved him during the actual PGA Championship. I thought it was great, the coverage that he was getting. I thought it was awesome when he was doing the walk and talks. You know, I thought it was awesome the reaction that Seth Waugh had when I got to interview him about Michael Block. But then you see photos like that. You see stuff on Twitter that he's at some corporate sponsored event, and it was Royal Abbey or whatever it was in Canada for some hole-in-one competition. And it's just like, what are we doing, man? Like, the whole reason why you got to this point is because you were a PGA professional, a darn good PGA professional, obviously, to do what he did. Just, you get to play in next year's PGA Championship. That's great. I understood that, like, you got some sponsors invites coming off of it. Who amongst us wouldn't take it? You wanted to try to play in the U.S. Open. Who wouldn't try to do it? But just go back to being a PGA professional now until next year's PGA or next year's California Swing, when they'll give you your next, you know, sponsors invite. Like, I don't know. I guess he's not a, I guess anymore, or I don't know if he was up until this point. I guess he's not a, I have daily lessons with clients, because I guarantee you he lost those clients since he's never actually at his club anymore. If he did, for all the crap that golf Twitter loves to give Omar Uresti,
right.
Omar Uresti's not out there every other day posing with the Ryder Cup and doing hole-in-one challenges for corporate sponsored outings in Canada. So yeah. If we're going to go ahead and give Omar Uresti crap, then I feel like it's only fair that we do the same to Michael Block, because he is just everywhere. Any corporate company that'll throw a buck at him, he is just doing it right now. And you know what? I understand we all got to make a buck in life, but, like, come on, man, you're a PGA professional. Just go be the PGA professional. Like, I don't know. It's unfortunate, and it sucks that I got to be this guy, but it's just like, come on, man. Like, we all loved what you did, but now it's just like, I don't even want to watch him play at next year's PGA Championship anymore, because it's just like, what are we doing? I don't.
Well, he certainly hasn't. His 15 minutes.
I'm waiting for him to say that if only he could putt like Brian Harman next after his, if only I could hit a wedge like, or drive the ball like Rory, you know, where's that one coming up next now?
Yeah. Do they still do like the playing lessons with the pros on Golf Channel? I don't even know. It's going to be Michael Block, the episode. So I mean, his 15 minutes of fame, I think, like, legitimately are gone.
Ended 5 hours ago.
And I gotta agree with you on this one, because I mean, this dude, we've been talking about him for a while. The golf world has been talking about him for a while. And yes, a PGA professional insofar as he pays his dues to be a PGA pro, which is different than a PGA Tour pro. And I know a lot of people listening to this know that distinction, but perhaps there's one or two of you that don't. And I mean, for those who don't know, I mean, Omar Uresti, he has been on this podcast in the past, and he explained it pretty succinctly. There's nothing that prevents Omar or Michael from just paying their dues and then, you know, re-upping their membership. You know, that doesn't mean that you need to go trouncing around on this, you know, PR tour that, let's be honest, I mean, the last thing, I think he was sponsored by Michelob Ultra. He's
Doers. I think he did a Doers thing.
Doers.
At some point.
Yeah.
I think at the US Open, I want to say. Yeah. Doers. It was some bourbon company. I remember that. I can't remember which one it was, but
at some point though, and I don't have the limits in front of me right now, but these pros, I mean, I guess they can make as much as they want, but I mean, at some point it's like, all right, man, like, do you even go back to the course? Like you said, I mean, are you even there? And clearly he's not, because when does he have time to do so?
And we've had Omar Uresti on the show, and I want to preface by saying I have no problems with what he does. Listen, if he wants to pay his PGA of America dues and be a PGA professional and play in a couple, you know, and play in some PGA events and then whatnot, that's fine. But unlike what Michael Block's doing is, yeah, he may show up at an occasional PGA Tour stop that he gets a sponsor's invite for, or he Monday qualifies for, or the PGA Professional Championship or the PGA Champ. But then he goes and basically disappears again and goes back to, I don't want to say anonymity, but to his day job, to his whatever participation he's doing within the PGA of America, he goes back to doing that. I honestly wonder, has Michael Block stepped foot on his court at his club since the end of the PGA Championship? Because the internet would seem to tell us that he has not.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, and especially since this is the jump the shark moment for Michael Block. When you take a picture like this, again, for our friends at YouTube.
Oh, I forgot about the DJ Khaled event, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they won the event. Him and DJ Khaled, I think, who started golf this year, I think, which, you know, good for DJ Khaled. I mean, I don't know. He's having
fun.
Event.
If he wants to fill it up with ringers, let him. I don't care.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, at this point, he's becoming like a caricature of himself a little bit. Michael Block has. So it's interesting. Any parting thoughts about Michael, about Blocky? Is that his nickname?
Blocky. Yeah. Blocky. Just go home, man. Go be a, because I'm sure you got people at your club that need some lessons. They're probably, they haven't seen you in weeks.
Right.
Go home and give some lessons, my man.
All right. So we finished the major season. You know, we've talked a lot about Dan about, you know, stuff that we want to do here at Golf Unfiltered. And, you know, we've got things that are changing like crazy. I mean, we've been busy, of course, during the summer. I said that at the beginning of the show. We're going to cover a few different things. I will say this, and I want to address this again when Nikki has the chance to come on the show another time. We were planning on going to Atlanta. Now, I'm not going to hold back here. I'm not trying to be like, whatever. We got our credentials denied, which, fine. The reasoning for it is, and this will probably prevent me from ever getting credentials again. I don't care. But apparently, the reasoning was that they have international partners that haven't submitted their requests yet. And so I can see kind of both sides of the coin here. On one hand, you want to have some space for people overseas to be able to come to East Lake to see the Tour Championship, which is why we were going. The other side, it's like we put our request in literally 2 months ago.
Yeah, like the day that they became available, like literally, yeah. Like Nikki, I mean, Nikki, we, you know, she does it all for us, but I mean, she was on top of that literally the second it was went live. She's like, submit, let's right. do this. Let's get it in now.
And the other part of the declination letter or message or whatever it is that we got, they reference a video that we made when Nikki went to the Players Championship at Sawgrass, where they say, now, for those who don't know, this is a little behind the scenes stuff here. The PGA Tour, when you request credentials, you have to put, what do you want credentials for? Is it just for, you know, journal, you know, if you're going to be a writer, do you need to be able to take photos? Do you want to make a request to get a credential to shoot video? Because as we all know, they are very stringent and specific and strict on what you can take video of. Well, they referenced that video that we did on our YouTube channel where Nikki was interviewing fans at the Players Championship. She was seated on the hill along with other fans in the gallery. And you can, I guess, see behind them, you could see the golf course. And I think for, I'm not even kidding, Dan, maybe 2 seconds, a player that you couldn't even make out who it was walked by. The PGA Tour mentioned, you know what? You had golf on video. Come on. is this what we're doing? Yeah.
So you obviously know this, Adam. Nikki knows this too. Obviously, this was part of how we kind of came together as a team. You and I, obviously, you knew this too, because you had me on your show in years past mm-hmm. due to my affiliations with the other media outlets within golf that I had done work for. I've been covering golf now, professional golf, for, man, we're probably going on almost 10 years now. That's crazy to think that my first Players Championship was, the first one I did was when Stenson beat Spieth on that rainy Sunday. Okay. So that was probably 10 years ago at this point almost. I've covered many PGA Tour events. I have seen it all as far as asinine things that Ponte Vedra's media department does, makes you do, makes you sign, won't let you do, will let you do. I've been at Players Championships before where I've basically been told there was not room for me to have a little desk set up in the media center proper. Right. So I had to go kind of the spillover area because they needed to save spaces for some of those other entities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then those entities didn't show, but I couldn't go just like sit in their seat because, you know, oh, well, their names, it has reached a point, and this is super unfortunate because especially now where we have division in the men's game, it's causing a lot of lack of interest in the men's game. We've sat here and talked on the show about how men's professional golf right now is kind of a mess. It's not a lot of fun to watch. A lot of the fans are kind of getting annoyed with things. So you would think at a time like this, you would want anyone and everyone who has even the smallest remote interest to come cover your event to be like, yes, what can we do for you? What would you like to do while you're here? How can we make this, how can we accommodate you? And instead, what is essentially happening now, and this is the funniest part of this entire thing to me, had Nikki either A, just showed up, bought a ticket, and gone and done filmed that video, or had simply taken off her credential, shoved it in her pocket, and done that video, not only would there have not been any issues, I'm willing to bet that the PGA Tour's Twitter account would have retweeted the video.
Maybe
because we honestly reached a point now with what the media is not allowed to do. We have actually reached a point now where if you are outside the ropes and you are just there as a fan, minus the act being in the actual interview room, you actually have more access and you're allowed to do more.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's just, to me, it's just, I don't know. It's mind blowing. And the crazy part is in, obviously, the three of us had an off-air conversation that was way more, you know, worse than this. Yeah, we're cleaning it up for you guys now. But the entire time, all I kept thinking to myself was like, not a single thing that happened surprised me. And that's, I think, the most unfortunate part, because I have seen this happen. And obviously, I'm never getting credentialed again now either, because we're but I don't think I'm getting it. Anyway, for all I know, the reason why we were denied is because they saw my name, too. I mean, we don't, you know, who even knows at this point anymore. But the saddest part is I can't even say I was that surprised, because they just, it's the same thing that when something really cool happens during a tournament and everyone tweets the video out and then everyone gets DMCA'd and you just see a bunch of just blank tweets after 20 minutes. And it's like, we're trying to Meanwhile, you look at that video from Friday night when Messi scored that game-winning goal. I think it's been shared 5.1 million times. It's got like tens of millions of views. And now Apple said since that video got put out on Twitter, their subscription rate has gone through the roof for people buying MLS Pass. So there's an example of one professional sports franchise that's like, or professional sports organization that's like, tweet it out because it's more exposure, which equals more money for us. And then you have the PGA Tour. It's like, nope, delete. You can't get credentialed now. You're banned. Blah, you know, bad. And it's like, okay, cool. Well, then why do we want, why was anyone want to watch?
It's frustrating to say the least. And, you know, listeners, I know this probably comes across a little bit as like sour grapes, and it is to a degree. I mean, but at the other side of it, Dan, I think you said it very well. I mean, we are trying to cover, and we're a small fish in a big pond, absolutely, comparatively, but people know who we are and we want to go out there, we want to make ourselves available, and we want to cover the event
also too. Because we are a small outlet, it's not like we are Sports Illustrated or the Golf Channel or any in order for us to be able to get all three of us together in the same spot, in the same location, housing, accommodations, plane tickets, like, these big entities have like travel departments where in 5 minutes they can be like, here's your ticket, here's your hotel, here's when you leave. We have to plan this stuff months out in advance. I mean, Nikki, obviously she has a child. We're all married. We all have obligations outside of just what we do for Golf Unfiltered that, I mean, there's a lot of arrangements that had to be made, which is why we did this so many months in advance. I mean, in your case, I hadn't booked anything yet because I was waiting to see what was going to happen. In your case, you had already started booking accommodations that you had to start making calls to try to get credits for or cancellations, and some things were non-refundable. And it's just I understand where it can come across as sour grapes, but for a smaller organization like us, planning for this type of thing has to happen months and months and months in advance for us to be able to do this.
Well said again. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I don't know. I almost went down a path of like, you know what, we try to do a whole lot. And it's not like we're not victims in this regard. We are disappointed that we're not able to go. Hopefully, Chris McEwen, a fan of our a fan, he hates us. But Chris McEwen, a friend of Golf Unfiltered, he also is a contributor in a few different things. He and I put in credential requests for the BMW Championship, which happens to be in the Chicago area. That's just a car ride for him and me.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we could still go do that. We'll behave. We'll not shoot any video. But in the same
I also hope to be out at the Champions Tour event later this year in Boca, the second of their 3-leg playoffs. That's usually a fun event to be at as well too. So I also hope to be at that. And also, you know, as you know, we like to kind of look at things from a glass half full perspective. If the tour doesn't want to accommodate us, then that'll give us more time to be able to showcase even professional golf things. Like when I was out doing the stuff with the Underrated Tour, they obviously rolled the red carpet out for me for that event. They asked me if I wanted to go to any other events, which I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'd love to travel, but you know, it's not always that easy. So I think that'll just allow us that, these other, it's just another reminder that men's professional golf isn't all of golf. So, Yeah. There's plenty of other forms of golf that we can now spend our time featuring and highlighting, which is still a ton of fun to do.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's do it. We're going to continue to do stuff on the website as well, golfunfiltered.com. We have got some new equipment reviews out there. I mean, it's things have slowed down in the equipment space during the summer, as they typically do. They'll begin to pick up a little bit more closer to the end of the year holidays. And of course, in January is the big PGA show, of course, and all the release of the new stuff. And we've got some essays up there from Dan, including the underrated golf tour interviews that he's done. As well as Nikki, she's got her mini series up there, memoirs from Magnolia Lane, as well as all sorts of other things that she's written over the course of the time that she's been associated with us. That's all for this week, folks. We'll be back again next week with some more content. We'll decide what it's going to be. We're kind of on the fly. That's the way that we do things. And I can't say anything just yet, but we have a surprise coming up very soon with perhaps a new affiliation that we have. To hopefully increase the exposure of this podcast as well. I don't have the green light to say anything else at this point, but once I do, I will. So be sure to follow
us. Exciting things on the horizon.
Yeah, absolutely. Be sure to follow us at Golf Unfiltered everywhere. I guess on Twitter or X. I don't know what the hell that thing is anymore. I mean, we're there. So
apparently, I guess if you have it on the app still, it's still Twitter. But it's my brother said
I still have the bird.
Yeah, but my brother said he logged on today on his actual computer, and then that showed up as X. Yeah. So I guess apparently it depends on what form you are viewing it on. I don't even know.
Whatever the hell. We're also on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on TikTok. TikTok's actually taken off, so you're just going to see my ugly face on there a lot. But that's a really cool community. I've talked about that, listeners, if you've listened to many episodes by us here. Aside from that, be sure to follow Dan on X. I don't know, at Dan Houser Golf. Whatever it's called. Dan, thanks so much for hopping on, and we'll be back again next week, folks.
Yeah, it's always good talking to you guys.